the purity line of a single hour, but before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer, I'm with thee, my God. I commune as friend with friend. There's no need of an earthly priest this morning. But when you know that the Lord is your Savior, you're as a friend, a brother. It says he's like a brother, the six closer than any friend. A friend is six closer than a brother. We'll sing this and then our apostles will come.
Each and every one, and it's good to be gathered in the name of the Lord. And the Lord bless each one this morning. Praise God. It's you're visiting with us, the Lord bless you. We have a few brethren that's come back home from Scotland with us this morning as well. I keep Rita going that she's from Ireland. And she keeps me going, I'm from Scotland. Then, you know, Brother Sammy found out that the McKinstrys were in Scotland. And the king in Scotland actually gave them an island of their own. Well, I'm going back to see if I can find it. But praise the Lord. Anyhow, the Lord bless each and every one. We want to turn to Hebrews chapter 7. And the Lord bless our sister Rita. And it is good to have her with us, praise God. And anyone else that's here, the Lord bless you, praise God. I want to talk this morning about the priesthood. And two really good books of the Bible for studying these things is Exodus 28 and Leviticus chapter 8. But we're reading from Hebrews this morning. But Exodus 28, Leviticus 8 deals a lot with priesthood. But when you think about the priesthood, we have to really always bear in mind that we are no longer under the Levitical priesthood. We're not under the Aaronic priesthood. We're under a new priesthood. The Melchizedek priesthood. Praise God. Superior. More complete. More effective. Hallelujah. So we thank the Lord for that. So let's read. Let's just read from verse 3. We'll read a few verses of chapter 7 of Hebrews. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, made like unto the Son of God, abided the priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of his spoils. And verily they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people, according to the law that is of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not accounted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witness that he liveth. And as I may so say, Levi also who receiveth tithes paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, What further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man give attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which by Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood. Let's just bow for a word of prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for your word. For your word is the authority. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We know the same became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld your glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that the Holy Spirit will take thy word and open it before us this morning and be our great teacher. And that thou wilt speak to men and women in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, I take the promised Holy Spirit in Jesus' precious name, and I thank you, undertake for me in the name of the Lord Jesus. I pray for all that's here, you bless them. I pray for those that's visiting on holidays, you bless them. I ask you again for Brother Keith, that you'll touch him, that you'll strengthen him. I plead the precious blood of Jesus all over his body, and ask that you'll heal him and recover him and make him whole in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have thy way amongst us, Lord. Grant thy servant thy wisdom and an unction from above. In the name of the Lord Jesus I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Just maybe see that. Praise God. I want to say that I've been going through the book of Hebrews quite a bit. I don't think everybody's been at every service, but for the most of the services, what you've heard me talking a lot about the book of Hebrews. And I'm sure that you can catch already where what you've heard, that there's a big emphasis on Christ as our priest.
Yes, amen.
And it seems to be a great putting forth from the Word of God an emphasis of Christ as our great priest. Not only as our priest, but as our great high priest. And then we saw a few weeks back that none other had the full acclamation given to them but Christ, as the great priest and as the great high priest. Now, we know that Christ is an apostle, and we know there's a difference in an apostle and a priest, and there is men that can be called apostles, but they are not priests. But Christ is both apostle and priest. And he's not just both apostle and priest, but he is all of the fivefold ministry is in the Lord Jesus Christ. You hear people saying, Brother so-and-so has all of the fivefold ministry. Well, that's not scriptural. They do not have all of the fivefold ministry. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says there is an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, so forth. A man may teach, though he's a pastor, an evangelist, so forth. We know that. But Jesus did have all the fivefold ministry within him, and he did have all the gifts of the Spirit within him, because in him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We receive the Spirit by a measure, but he never received it by a measure, but the Bible says that he received the Spirit by fullness. The fullness of God was in him. In other words, Jesus is the very God of heaven, manifested, expressly declared, made known in flesh amongst men. That's what he is. And he's the only one that is that.
Amen.
You cannot compare any other earthly man and set him on the same pinnacle as Christ, or you're making him Antichrist. That's why none other can be placed alongside Jesus in esteem, in priestly office, or any affairs. They cannot do it. They must come under him. They must be subject to him, because he is the head of the church. And there's only one head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. But an apostle is one who comes out from God with a message to man. And a priest is different. A priest is one that goes into God to intercede for the people. So an apostle comes out with a message, but a priest goes in before God to intercede for the people. So an apostle is totally different from a priest. A pastor is a type of a calling like a priest, in that he ministers before the Lord. He should do. If a pastor doesn't, he's not a pastor, he's a makeshift. He has to wait for before the Lord. He has to pray for the congregation before the Lord and minister before the throne of God for the church. That's part of his calling. And when you study the fivefold ministries, there's very few places do it the way the Bible teaches it. And an elder is not somebody that, just because of grey hair, that's not what an elder means. Paul said, ordain elders in every town. That is a pastor. Do you realize that? A pastor is an elder. He's a man ordained in every town. If I say, me and Brother Idris go, and Gary and Ian and so forth, say we go to Donnacloney, and we start a work in Donnacloney, then those of us that are ministers will go there and ordain an elder to pastor the people. That's what Paul's talking about. Now, there is elders, because you may be old, but that's not a ministry. All of us will be an elder someday. I'm not one yet. You're not either. Tell yourself you're not old. Refuse to believe it. Amen. 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 The Lord's going to change you back to young anyhow, for he's gone. The Lord Jesus Christ is both apostle and high priest. So the Lord came forth with a message to the people, and the Lord also goes in before the Father and prays for you, and prays for me, and intercedes for you, and intercedes for me. You hear the saying, the evangelist comes in, drop the bombshells, then he's off. But Christ does it, but he intercedes as well. He's all the ministries. And it's true, the evangelist does do that. And he leave to the pastor to pick up the pieces. That's how it happens. I do it as well when I travel. Because I'm not traveling as a pastor, I'm traveling as an evangelist. You drop the bombs, then you go on. The poor pastor has to pick the pieces up. It's like a fella said, Ian knows his name, I can't remember his name. Take it, eat something, you know that fella. He says, you know, when you're on your side, he says, I just start blasting. But he says, the pastor doesn't shoot as quick as me. You know, he thinks about what he's going to do before he does it. But the evangelist doesn't. He hits his shot. Sometimes it's damaged, done with it. Well, that's the difference. But you see, Jesus had all the ministry. Jesus knew when to abound and to be abased. And the Bible tells us we should know when to be abound and when to be abased. In other words, we should know when to speak and when not to speak. There is a time when you're not to speak. It's not just about all preaching to people. Your life can speak louder than 1,000 words if you live it right. Your life is a testimony. Your life will speak a message. But if your life's wrong, it'll speak a message as well, the wrong one. So we want to have a testimony. Hebrews 3 and verse 1 says it. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is called the high priest and apostle of our profession. So we have a real apostle here, And you remember when I preached the message, chiefest of all apostles, and it wasn't Paul, it was Jesus. And Paul called him it. Paul called Jesus chiefest of all apostles. Jesus Christ. He came from God, he went back to God. The great work of the priest was to minister unto the Lord. Exodus 28 verse 3 tells us. Now I'll go through these scriptures, and I want to take my time this morning. I won't hold you as long. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. So the priest's calling is to minister to the Lord first. So if you have a man that says he's a minister and he has no prayer life, how will he minister to the people if he has not ministered to the Lord first? He must be waiting upon his gift. He must study to show himself approved, a minister that rightly divideth the word of God. Now, here is a key in this verse, and it's in the Old Testament, but you can take it to the New. He was anointed. Anointed. When God calls a priest, when God chooses these men, they are anointed. It comes with the calling. Anointed. And we know Jesus was definitely anointed. So a minister must be anointed of the Lord. If he's not anointed, you would seriously have to question whether he's called. Because it is part of God's ordination, it's part of the priestly calling to be anointed. He must be a man of prayer that waits firstly upon the Lord. And secondly, he comes with the word before the people, but firstly to the Lord. And we see the Lord Jesus pray. Now, this, I know I'm bringing out, you know, till our present step here, but this is really about Christ. Amen. He prayed all night while the rest fell asleep. He prayed on through the night. The Bible says he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. The Lord is praying for you. You might think, is anyone praying for me? The Lord is praying for you. Prayer is very important. I believe prayer must be above even reading. I believe prayer is the most effective thing for any believer, is to pray and to wait before the Lord. You must pray about everything. You must pray. Daniel was a man of prayer. He prayed three times a day. It's a little song, but it's a true song. He prayed before the Lord, and the Lord blessed him. And even when the enemy tried to, he got him in jail and into trouble, God still was good to him. And God still brought him out and blessed him and worked for him because he prayed continually. And we are reminded that we are to pray continually. And the Lord is our high priest, not just our apostle, but the Lord's our high priest. He's praying for us. Praise his lovely name. Look what he says, I delight to do thy will, O my God, is the language of the great high priest. Jesus delight to do the Father's will. That's his language. I delight to do thy will. We must be delighted to do God's will, to do God's bidding. When the Spirit of God moves us to do something, we should be delighted. See if you're asked to take part in something to do with the house of God. For you to turn it down is a bad thing. You should be delighted to have the chance to do it. Delighted. And you should make time. Make time. And if something else has took your time to stop you from serving the Lord in the capacity God wants you to serve Him, get rid of it. I don't care what it is. Get rid of it. And put the Lord first. And if you put the Lord first, the Lord will bless you. The Lord will honor them that honor Him. And bless them that bless Him. This is God's word. Praise His lovely name. I delight to do thy will. This will also will be the delight of our lives if we're walking in the white robes of our holy priesthood. And we have white robes this morning. We are walking in a holy priesthood. Did you know you're kings and priests unto God? Well, let's show you from the book of Revelation 1 verse 6. And have made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So He has made us kings and priests. We've been dressed with the righteousness of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has washed us. He has cleansed us. He has purified us. Excuse me. And He's made us kings and priests. And remember, what does a priest do? He prays. So we're all called to be priests in the sense we're all called to pray and wait before the Lord. Now I want you to look at this priestly calling with me for a moment this morning. Aaron was called of God. Called of God. Not called of man, called of God. Man can elect a man and put him in position, but if God has not called the man, it's a waste of time. The Bible says, except the Lord build the house, they that labor, labor in vain. It is God's doing. It is God that calls a man. And I'll tell you, you know, when you think of some of the places the Lord has called some of us, it's quite something really, isn't it? You know. And it's just remarkable how that God does it. No man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. Hebrews 5 verse 4 says this. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as Aaron was. So Aaron was called of God. Aaron didn't decide he'll do it himself. Aaron didn't decide he'll take this office up himself. A fellow that decides he'll do it himself, God never called him. That's how you know. It has to be the Lord that calls a man. And mostly when God's calling a man, he doesn't want to do it.
That's right.
Look at Jonah. God sent him to Nineveh and he didn't want to go, but he was a man called to do it. So you could be sitting here, I know I'm talking to somebody. You could be struggling and saying, well, I don't want to do it. You better be careful, because you see, the boat near sank for old poor Jonah.
Uh-huh.
Jonah had trouble.
That's right.
Because God had called him. And the trouble was from the Lord. Not the devil. From the Lord. Because God had something he wanted Jonah to do, and Jonah wasn't listening too well. So God brought a storm up. The storm was caused by the Lord. The trouble came by the Lord. And Jonah knew it.
Yes, that's right.
And when the mariners came and said, why is all this? Jonah said, it's my fault. Throw them overboard. You'll have no more trouble if you get rid of it. You'll have no trouble if you get rid of me. Because I'm going the wrong way. I'm on the wrong boat. Are you on the wrong boat? Switch boats this morning if you're on the wrong boat. Don't be going any more to Tarshish. Head back to Nineveh. Amen. Switch boats. Change boats. And they knew the story that threw him overboard. I remember working with a man, I won't tell you what denomination he was on, but he, every day, for some reason, he was just going to fix me with a Bible. And I said to him, this day we were at tea, and I said, and Jonah was swallowed by a whale. And he says to me, no, he wasn't. The Bible doesn't say that. I said, well, mine does. No, it doesn't, he says. And he got the Bible out. I said, we'll bring the Bible in sure tomorrow. And he waited, he had all his dinner room filled. And it was quite a big business. And he got them all in there. And he read his wee verse, for it says, and God prepared a special fish. Which the Bible says. But there was another verse that says, a wheel. See, he missed one of the scriptures. And you have to be careful you read it all. Not just one wee bit of it. Because you could miss something. And he missed that one. A special prepared fish. And another place it says a wheel. And you know, what Brother Branham says, when the wheel sailed into Nineveh,
And the people of Nineveh worshipped the whale as their god. And Jonah stepped out of the whale's mouth on the gangplank. He says, no wonder they repented. They were worshipping the whale. And Jonah was swallowed by the whale. And the whale rose up and Nineveh opened his mouth. Jonah steps out and starts preaching. You can't picture it, can you? But it happened.
Amen.
That's our God.
Amen.
So be careful what you're doing now. Because you wouldn't want him to swallow it by the wheel. You say, I know, but God wouldn't do that today. No, he might not use a wheel, but he could use something else. You better get on the right track.
Amen.
Every high priest is ordained, Hebrews 8 verse 3. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore it is of necessity that this man has somewhat also to offer. And Jesus had gifts and sacrifices to offer. He had somewhat to offer, and he offered himself without spot and without blemish to God. He offered himself for us so that we could be saved. No man could offer for you to be saved because he's born a sinner. But Jesus was not born a sinner. He had no sin. He knew no sin. So when he offered himself to God, God accepted him on our behalf. And he is our living sacrifice. And we are saved by believing on him. It's simple, but it's so profound and so true. Jesus Christ, our high priest, was chosen of God. He's the only divinely ordained high priest. The only mediator between God and man. There's many priests, but there's only one high priest ordained to be a mediator between God and man. 1 Timothy 2 verse 5 tells us, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So this man Christ Jesus is a mediator between God and man. He's the one that prays for you. He's went forth with a message. He's went back to God. He's praying for you. He's mediating for you so that you can come to God. He's praying for you. He's prepared a way for you so that you'll be accepted of the Lord and you can be saved because of this one mediator. There's no other mediator. When a man steps up to the front and he takes a wafer and he says, the power has been invested in me, and he performs what he calls the act of transubstantiation. Now what that means is that earthly priest is claiming that he's turning the wafer into the literal physical body of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know he cannot do it. He's had no power invested in him by no one to do it. It's fake and false. Because Christ was offered up once for all. For by one offering are you perfected forever. By one offering you are perfected forever. And there's this one mediator. Only one. Here's another thing about this priest. He was washed. Washed. They must be clean that bear the vessels of the Lord, Aaron is sunlight type of Christ, washed. And the only way we can be washed is through the blood of Jesus Christ. We cannot be washed by religion. We cannot be washed by shaking hands, signing cards. The only way we can be washed is through the precious blood of the Lamb of God, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It washes us and it cleanses us from all sin and from all unrighteousness. They were washed. And this is the calling. You must be washed. And when you're washed, what does that mean? You're clean. And you have to be clean to approach this holy God. And the only thing that can cleanse you is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Washed. Aaron is a type of this. But this washing just brings out how far short the best men come in resemblance to the Holy God. And you see, it doesn't matter who you can pick for me or show me the godliest man you can, and I'll pick a fault in him. Not that I'm going to go about because you can pick a fault in me. You can pick a fault. fault in anybody. But you cannot pick a fault in the Lord Jesus. Because the Bible says He is sinless and harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. That's what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus. He's absolutely unique in His holiness and in His character. He is a step above any other man. He is superior because of this. That's why there's no other religions, whether it be Buddha or Muhammad, they're all false. They have no holy man. They may claim they have, but they don't have. Jesus is the only holy man. The Holy One of God. He needeth not this cleansing. He is clean. He didn't need this cleansing. But Aaron did. But Jesus didn't, because He was already clean. He was clothed. Now this is speaking of Aaron, but Christ is the bigger picture here. Clothed. The coat, the robe, and the ephod were put upon Him. Our great high priest was robed in garments of glory and beauty. No one put it upon Him. He already was arrayed in it. Aaron had the dress and these garments, which were a type of Christ, but Christ had them. And we must be clothed by His garments. Praise God. Our great high priest, robed in garments of beauty and glory. These holy robes were, as we shall say, typical of His character. The character of Christ, typical of His character. What's His character? Holiness. Holiness. The angels will cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." He was also crowned. Aaron was. He was crowned with a mitre of the holy crown was put upon the head. The priestly dress was not complete without the crown. So He was washed, He was clothed, and He was crowned. And Christ is crowned with glory. Zechariah 3, verse 1 to 5, look what it says. And He showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord. I think maybe Gary preached from this scripture one week. And Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, "The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem, rebuke thee. Is this not a brand plucked out of the fire?" Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, "Take away the filthy garment from him." And unto him he said, "Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment." Verse 5 says, "And I said, let them set a fur mitre upon his head." So that the set a fur mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by. Clothed with the garments, and it starts with a fur mitre upon the head. Change of garments. And we have to have a change of garments. We could not approach God. We could not come before God in our sinful condition, in our sinful state. We're all born in sin and shape and in iniquity. All of sin in Romans 3 and 23 and come short of the glory of God. We had to have a change of garments. And it's only through Christ can we have this change of garments. The priest must be one fitted to wear a crown. The mediator between God and man must be one able to wear and worthy of the glorious crown, the crown of His holiness. Now there's a fellow claims he's wearing that today, but he's false. He's not my holiness. My holiness is the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. And I'm not ashamed of Him this morning. And I'm not ashamed to talk about Him. He was anointed. He's washed, He's clothed. All these things the Lord does for us. Show me an earthly priest can do that for you. He can't. He'll point you to the one that does it. He'll pray for you. He'll bring a message to you. But He will have to point you to this one true one that's called His Most Holiness, the Lord Jesus Christ. He must point you to Him. He can't point you to none other. If He does, He's false. He was anointed. Moses poured the anointing oil upon Aaron's head. Leviticus 8 verse 12. And he poured off the anointing oil upon Aaron's head. to sanctify him. The anointing spirit was poured out upon the head of God's beloved. As he stood in the Jordan River, the Bible says the spirit came down upon him like a dove and it rested upon him, it abode upon him, stayed on him. And that's why he can give you the spirit, because he's received it without measure. And you need that spirit. Crown him with honor. He's the Lord's anointed. The Lord's anointed. A lot of people want to be the Lord's anointed, but Christ is the Lord's anointed. He is the Lord's appointed and the Lord's anointed. Appointed and anointed. John says when he saw him, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." God's appointed, taking away of sin. One man, Jesus Christ. And one alone. He was also consecrated. Aaron was sprinkled with the blood and had his hands filled for the Lord. Leviticus 8, verse 24. Let me read you. "And he brought Aaron's sons, and Moses put off the blood upon the tip of their right ear, and upon the thumb of their right hands, and upon the great toe of their right feet. And Moses sprinkled the blood upon the altar round about. And he took the fat on the rump, and all the fat that was upon the inwards, and the, both the liver and the two kidneys, and the fat on the right shoulder, and out of the basket of the unleavened bread that was before the Lord, he took one unleavened cake, and a cake of oiled bread, one water, and put them on the fat and upon the right shoulder, and he put all upon Aaron's hands and upon his son's hands, and weaved them for a wave offering before the Lord." So God called this man, and you see, all throughout this calling of Aaron, there's the oil, and the oil always speaks about the Holy Spirit. Then there's the provision of the meat. You see, this morning, I hadn't time, but I was looking up about a pastor. And a lot of people have the wrong concept of a pastor, what it really means. A pastor is a shepherd of the flock, one that feeds the sheep. That's a pastor. Feeds the sheep. That's a pastor. But there's a five-fold ministry, not just the pastor. And it's all for the perfecting of the saints. Cleaned and filled is the true consecrated state. The Lord Jesus Christ with both the voice from heaven. Here's what it said. "This is my beloved son." Claimed him. The voice from heaven claimed Jesus as his beloved son. He was claimed, then he was filled. And when God calls a man, he claims him and he fills him. And if God hasn't called him, he's not claimed. So he's appointed by himself. Trouble. And then he must be filled. And the overseers don't fill him. The Spirit of God fills him. And you remember this Spirit that fills him is unlimited. It doesn't run out, you know, the bottle isn't empty. You know what I mean? The people can't get fed up with God's man. He's God's called man. And the Lord, this is really supremely the Lord. We're taking the two things here, you know what I'm preaching. This is ultimately Christ. God claimed him. This is my beloved son. Then he vindicated him. Filled him. Filled him. The Bible says, I'll read you what the Bible says here. "His holy hands were indeed filled for God and for man." Luke 4 verse 18. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised." This is what Jesus came for. And I believe if we wave Christ, I hear people say the Lord's given us a new wave sheet. Brothers, that's false teaching. You cannot have another. It must be the Lord. And any true prophet or man of God will tell you that. Must be the Lord. And when the Lord has waved over the people, He'll bless them, He'll heal them, and He'll cure them. If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. He fed on the bread of consecration. You can read it in verse 31. If you read Leviticus. Holy bread was His. What none other could touch was His by right. This is Aaron. Aaron could touch the holy bread. None other could touch it. He had to be called to handle this bread. None other could touch it. Do you realize, you know, a lot of people want to go back into the Old Testament. I wouldn't be so fast. Because you fellas, you go down the street tomorrow and look at a urine, and your right half end, you pluck it out. Not what it says. Either look on a woman with lust in his heart, really committed adultery with her. He's a fornicator and adulterer. That's what the Bible says. You see, people want to establish things, then other things they leave out. We're under a new covenant. We are living in the day of grace. This is why we're not under the Aaronic priesthood. We're under the Melchizedek priesthood. A superior priesthood. We're living in the day of grace. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
We were heathens. We weren't God's people. We were strangers, Ephesians says, drawn away from the covenants of Israel, having no hope, no guide, led by the prince of power of the earth, the spirit that now worketh the children to disobedience. Among we all had a conversation in times past, and the lust of the flesh, but now He's saved us and called us. And we're called today. And we can handle this bread today. But there's a day gone by you couldn't handle it. This is the provision the Lord's made for you. He's made you a priest. Well, you're seeing this. He's made it that you can handle this bread. He's made you a priest, Revelation 1:6. You can handle the bread. And this is not the bread on an altar in a church somewhere. This is the true bread that cometh down from heaven. I'm going to read it. Jesus could say, I have meat to eat that you know not of. But look at Leviticus 21, verse 22. He shall eat the bread of his God, both the most holy and of the holy. This is Aaron. So he could eat the bread of the God of his God, of the most holy and the holy of unholies. All the bread. He did eat the bread of God. Not only did he eat the bread of God, he was the bread come down from heaven. Christ was. Aaron can eat the bread. Look, John 6, verse 50. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. So when you eat this true bread of God, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't die. This flesh can go asleep. That's not really death. Did you know that? Paul said many are asleep. But then he said absent from the body and present of the Lord. You see the funerals we've had of believers. That body's just sleeping. They're alive. They're with the Lord. They'll come with the Lord when He comes for His saints. For the catching up, 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, that word means thrust up, to meet the Lord in the earth, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now here I'm going to close on this thought. It's just gone 10 past. There's so many things I can say about it. He was blameless. Blameless. No man that hath a blemish shall come nigh to offer the offering of the Lord. No man. These priests, and this old Levitical priesthood, crooked nose, he was out. Baldy head, out. Bad knee, out. Which one do you want to pick for doctor? You'd have nobody in the pulpit. Not a man. Oh, but you see, no, nobody. Not a man. How's Victor knows? Your hair balding. Your knees good. Have to be absolutely perfect to take this office. Now, but you see, here's the thing this morning. We are perfect in Christ. We are perfect in Him. We're accepted in the Beloved, regardless. We're accepted in Him. This is why this priesthood we are under superior. This is no more a works program. This is grace. Christ has done it for us. Christ is our priest. We're not dependent on an earthly priest to offer. We have a priest that has offered. That's blameless. Look at Leviticus. No man that hath a blemish can come nigh to offer the offering. Leviticus 21:23. Only he shall not go in under the veil, nor come nigh unto the altar, because he hath a blemish, that he profane not my sanctuaries, for I, the Lord, do sanctify them. This is a very serious thing. Do you realize? Listen to me. You see, you could get anybody up on the pulpit here today, they'll go alright. But you roll yourself back to the Old Testament, and you get a fellow to come up that's not born of the right lineage and chosen, and he's stopping dead here. You're carrying him out dead. He's gone. And I believe it still should be a God called man. Absolutely. But do you see that we're living in the day of grace? Our priest was holy, harmless, undefiled. Hebrews 7, verse 26. For such an high priest became us. Who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. He became us. In other words, he took your place. So you can come in now. You can come into God's presence. You can come to where the priest only used to be able to go. You can go. Because you're a priest because of that priest. He's made you a priest. Kings and priests under God. Man could find no fault in him. And God was pleased with him. Now you know Aaron's a type of Christ. I'm going to close. But I could go into all their names. How their names. All about their names. But you have a high priest this morning. He's made a way for you to wash. He shed his blood at the cross.
Amen.
He's given you the bread from heaven. His body was broken for you. You can eat this bread and live forever. Amen. He's made a way for you that you can be blameless. Think of that this morning. Blameless before the Lord. You can come before His throne blameless. Your record's clear. Oh, they could pull fires out this morning. Especially with my sister. I had to get a thing sent away a while back. All your convictions. It was like reading the telegraph. I'm just telling you because the Lord saved me. There's a wee girl said to me last night, she said, could I ask you a question? She said, we went down to the Crumlin Road jail. She said, would you mind if I asked you about it? And I said, no, I wouldn't. You can ask me. And I'll tell you, I wept. I cried. And she asked me and she cried. And she's not even saved. And she asked me all about it. And I told her how the Lord come to me in the jail. And how He saved me. Changed me. And I told her all how that God said you'll travel all across different parts of the world. And the Lord's done it. I never done it. He done it. But the Lord's faithful. But I watched. And He interceded for me. And He said, I've washed you whiter than the snow. All your sins and iniquities I will remember no more. But I cast away into the sea of God's forgetfulness. May I tell you, our God's good. Our God's good. And I want to tell you, the Lord loves you this morning. And this priesthood is here for you.
This is the most superior, supreme priesthood of Jesus Christ. And he's apostle and priest. And he's went to pray for you. So as we come to the close of this service this morning, the Lord knows what you've need of. Ever before you ask him. He's made intercession for you. He's made provision for you. I preached on Wednesday night all week from Wednesday. I'm still thinking of the verse. It'll be no more prolonged. God will do it.
Amen.
I'll do it, the Lord says. He said, thus saith the Lord. It'll be no more prolonged. A long waiting. It'll happen. You just believe. The Lord bless you this morning. Let's come and bow our heads. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you want prayer this morning, just slip your hand up before the Lord as we come to the close of the service. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. And Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for your mercy and for your grace. We thank you, Lord, that you pleased the Holy God, that you were satisfied with a sacrifice. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, we thank you this morning for the lovely person of the Lord Jesus Christ. How we thank you for your beauty and your holiness. And how we praise you for the wonderful bread of heaven. For the sweet oil of anointing that ran down Aaron's beard, a type of the Holy Spirit. Oh Lord, cause the oil to come over your people. Cause your oil to come down over our heads and over our beards. Oh precious Holy Spirit. Anoint thy children, I pray. Cause us to eat of the bread of heaven that will hunger no more. Cause us to drink of the wells of Bethlehem. Oh God, you brought us into the land. Truly, it is flowing with milk and honey. A spiritual land. A heavenly land. Kings and priests unto our God, how we praise you. And how we magnify your name. Father, pray for the hands raised this morning that you'll meet every need, that you'll answer prayer, and that you'll bless your people. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, bless them and strengthen them. Undertake for them. Touch bones. Touch sinews. Touch bodies. Heal and deliver, I pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Lord, we know that healing's in the atonement. For your word says, by thy stripes we were healed. We speak it and believe it. And we thank you for it. Lord, most of all, we thank you for the great salvation. How you have saved us and delivered us. And called us your own. How we thank you for it this morning. Father, accept of our praise. Accept of our thanks. Bless your people now. Those that's away this morning traveling and on holidays and different places, bless them and undertake for them. Part us with your blessing, make it rich. And add us no sorrows. Bless Brother Mark as he comes. Bless Sister Alva as she plays. Father, bless the service this morning as we go. And get yourself all the praise and all the glory. For it belongeth unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless each and every one as we go. Tonight again, 6 o'clock, the Lord will, the Lord bless you.
Somebody's preaching like Jenna by Jonah, or somebody said it's not. bird fish, but no, as Jesus has said, it was a wheel. In part, he's asking for a sign. You read about in Matthew chapter 12. He says, there'll be no sign but the sign of the prophet Jonah, that he was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly.
Amen.
The man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And you know the thing about it, they all missed it. All them religious men missed that sign. And even the disciples. Until that he rose again, that's when they realized what he spoke. But you know, thank God for grace this morning. I hear that welcome voice that calls to me, Lord. That calls me, Lord, to thee. That's to be. That's it. Thought there's something wrong there. We're cleansing in thy precious blood that flowed on Calvary. That's it. Let's not our people sing that.